Money FM 89.3, best of prime time.
Thanks for staying with us on Prime Time on Money FM 89.3. And now it's time for our Powering Your Property Asia segment. I'm Rachel Kelly. Now, as markets across Asia Pacific start to ease lockdown measures, the traffic lights are starting to turn in favor of Asia Pacific real estate markets. Well, that's according to an Asia Pacific bulletin by property firm Knight Frank. The report shows that residential markets are starting to recover faster than commercial. To find out a little bit more, we're joined today by Kevin Koppel, and he's the Asia Pacific Managing Director of Knight Frank. Kevin, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you very much for having me.
So, Kevin, you know, there was a real plethora of information in your report that covered markets across Asia, sectors within real estate across Asia. Are we starting to see a pickup as countries start to ease lockdown measures?
Things are certainly looking brighter as markets start to lift the restrictions that they've been through as part of dealing with COVID-19. So certainly those markets where restrictions have been lifted are showing the most progress. We're seeing that in China, in Taiwan, South Korea, and New Zealand, all of which opened up relatively more quickly than other markets. And I suppose we are starting to see some broader patterns in the way that those markets are coming out of their lockdown periods. Firstly, residential seems to be picking up most quickly, and there seems to have been some pent-up demand from residential buyers as they look to move, as their lives may change, they may need more space for bigger families or smaller families or what have you. So we've certainly seen more activity in residential. We've seen that activity pick up more quickly. Commercial has probably been a bit slower, a bit more activity at the smaller end of the commercial space in most markets. The larger deals, whether that's larger leasing of office space or larger sales transactions, have taken a bit longer to get active again.
What about those markets that are still under some kind of lockdown measure?
We're seeing those markets are still impacted by the restrictions on movement that many of them have in place. One of the important things about transacting in property, whether you're buying or leasing, is people like to inspect. They like to go and see the property and understand where it is, where the light is, all those sorts of things. And when you can't inspect that in many markets when they were in their various COVID-19 restrictions, property inspections were prohibited. That certainly slowed down the market. And consequently, as those restrictions began to be lifted, we saw some pent-up demand for people who had wanted to do things over the period of the lockdown, actually now be in a position to do it. So certainly those markets that were a bit slower to come out of the lockdowns have taken a bit longer to get active again. And just by way of example, there's a bit of an outbreak of COVID-19 cases in Melbourne at the moment, which some of your listeners may have read about in various publications. If you compare, Melbourne is significantly slower than we're seeing, say, Sydney and Brisbane, which have already made more progress in lifting their restrictions in Australia. I'm sure it will come back reasonably quickly when restrictions start to be lifted, but those restrictions do impact the level of activity. People don't feel as comfortable moving around. Often you can't do property inspections, and that obviously holds the market back.
Are you seeing any macro trends when it comes to sectors, whether it's industrial, retail, and or residential? I know I mentioned earlier briefly, and you've also alluded to this in terms of residential markets picking up a little bit faster because, as you mentioned, pent-up demand. But overall, what are we looking at in terms of industrial and retail as well?
Well, but there's the whole spectrum there, Rachel. Certainly, industrial, logistics, data centres, those types of asset classes have been relatively less affected by the whole COVID-19 experience. Mm. There's been a big shift towards online retail, and I'll talk about that on retail in a minute, but certainly that shift to online retail has then put more demands on supply chains, logistics infrastructure, fulfillment, etc. So we've seen a stronger demand in industrial, in data centres, in logistics, etc., as various players have tried to build up capacity to fulfil that increasing demand. So the prices there and demand there has held up reasonably solidly. At the other end of the scale, hotels have obviously been impacted by the lack of tourism, border closures, lack of air transport, etc., and also a lot less business travel, as the border restrictions have also applied to what was a reasonably significant business travel market. So hotels at the other end have probably been substantially affected by the whole COVID-19 experience and seen a dramatic reduction in their occupancy levels. Retail similarly has also been adversely affected. Obviously, a number of shops were closed. To be honest, we're not sure how many of these small retailers will actually come back and reopen when they can. But certainly, retail was impacted. Fewer tourists has impacted retail. There's been a big move to online. I think here in Singapore, I saw some numbers recently that suggested that online retail, which had typically been sort of 7 to 8% of retail activity, had grown to 17 or 18% of retail activity in Singapore over the circuit breaker period. And that's clearly going to have an impact on the traditional bricks and mortar retail. And we are seeing more pressure in that sector of the market. So industrial going strongly, hotels and retail certainly encountering some headwinds. Office in the middle. The whole office area is a very interesting discussion point at the moment, and we have many of our clients talking to us about what the future of the office is with this enormous working from home experiment. What we are seeing is that many of our office occupiers are looking at that question. If they've got renewals coming up in the very short term, they're generally trying to roll over their leases for 12 months, for example, while they assess what their plans are. Prime office is sort of holding up reasonably well, but there's certainly likely to be some impact on demand for office space, and that may impact rents and pricing, particularly in secondary markets.
And that's an interesting point as well, because, you know, I've heard really two conflicting sides when it comes to office space. You know, one side, as you mentioned, this has been dubbed the world's largest work from home experiment. And, you know, some have said that this may pave the way for more flexible working arrangements going forward. But on the other hand, there's been the argument that, you know, the office is often a place where people come together. It's where ideas are built within organizations. And, you know, for a lot of people, it's where they come to socialize. It helps them to differentiate life or personal life from their working life and build that kind of space. So to what extent do you think the office market is really going to change post-COVID-19?
Well, look, it's a hugely interesting question, Rachel. And look, I think the short answer is nobody really knows. There were certainly a number of these trends already underway before COVID-19. So we were already seeing increasing people working from home, greater use of collaboration spaces, more agile working, co-working has obviously been a very strong sector for the past couple of years. So there were already a number of these changes underway, and in many respects, COVID-19 sort of supercharged them, because they did force, you know, very large numbers of people to work from home. And I think most companies, most employers managed to actually adjust to that very quickly. We did 5 years of digital transformation in about 5 days and had all of our staff working from home very effectively, very quickly. But there are also some longer term challenges in working from home. Many of you, Rich, you've mentioned, but the whole question of collaboration, of creativity that you get when you work together, building culture, very difficult to do when you've got people working from home, because so much of the way that you build the culture of an organisation is people being together and seeing what happens, often outside of the spotlight. So these are all really important issues. I think there is no doubt there will be a stronger shift towards more flexible working arrangements, and many more people will work at least part of their week from home. I think any resistance there may have been in the past to people working from home for a variety of reasons, it's not as productive, that they can't communicate as well, etc. I think a lot of those reasons have now gone, because we've seen actually how effectively it can work. But I think that the question is what impact that's going to have over the longer term is still something that we need to get our heads around. What is interesting is that the markets that have opened relatively early and are also relatively virus free, so people are happy to catch public transport, they're happy to be in more crowded elevators, etc. We are, you know, in our world, that would be examples in our business like Auckland or Perth, Hong Kong, and many of our offices in China. We're seeing most people already back in the office. So when I talk to our teams in New Zealand or in Perth or in Hong Kong, we have most of our staff back in the office already. So it is interesting. I think there will inevitably be more flexibility, and I think there will be people will be looking to work from home a bit more. They might work in co-working or hub and spoke operations where some of their workspaces are closer to home, so they don't have to spend so much time commuting. But I think equally, the office plays a really important role in creating relationships, in creating culture, in building collaboration, and I still think it's got a really important role to play, and people will need to continue to use the office. And we may find that when 60 to 70% of your colleagues are back in the office, you might feel like, actually, I really need to be back in the office because I need to be part of the conversations and that sort of spontaneity that you get when you're all in the one space. Whereas at the moment, you've sort of got to make an appointment to speak to somebody yeah. with large numbers of people working from home. So it's a really interesting issue. But I, for one, I think that the office has got a really important role to play in the future of businesses, and I think it will still be a very central hub of where people meet and collaborate and build the organisation.
Looking at your capital market section for the report, and you also mentioned, you know, commercial transaction volumes are down 52% year on year in the first 5 months of the year. Do you see that picking up?
We do see it picking up. Obviously, that's a pretty substantial reduction. Part of that, again, is to do with people being in lockdown restrictions, border travel being closed, etc. So that certainly has an impact on capital markets as well. Now that things are starting to be lifted, we are seeing more activity, but particularly at the large end of the market, I think it will take some time. We are seeing an increase in sales and leaseback activity, particularly in relatively open markets like Australia, and we expect that to continue. But we've certainly seen more activity, and we think that a lot of that activity is going to be focused on the open markets where there's more debt. So that will be in Australia, in Singapore, in Japan, etc., where people feel they can trade a little bit more freely. But we do expect volumes to come back. And there's certainly a huge amount of capital that was raised by particularly private equity funds in 2019, much of which has not been spent. So there's certainly plenty of capital out there looking for opportunities. Obviously, a lot of those investors are also trying to get their heads around this whole occupier question and what's going to happen with the future of the office, because that will have an impact on the returns that they can generate. But even within capital markets, there are some sectors that are busy. So obviously the industrial logistics sectors, data centres are busy. As I said, sales and leasebacks, we're starting to see more activity in those areas as companies look to release some capital that may be in idle real estate for them and want to redeploy that back into their core businesses, etc. So we have certainly seen an increase in sales and leaseback activity.
Kevin, thank you so much for your time.
A pleasure. Thank you for having me.
This is Powering Your Property on Prime Time on Money FM 89.3. And we've been speaking to Kevin Koppel, Asia Pacific Managing Director at Knight Frank.
To listen to more great interviews, download our podcasts at moneyfm893.sg or download the SPH radio app available on Google Play or the App Store.